This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Join us as we chat with Kelly, known as the Points and Miles Doctor, who has mastered the art of maximizing travel rewards while juggling a demanding medical career. From her start with an American Airlines card to first-class experiences on Emirates, ANA, and Singapore Airlines, Kelly's story is truly inspiring as she ensures that her vacation starts the moment she enters the airport. In this episode, Kelly shares her incredible travel adventures, her strategies for balancing a busy schedule, setting boundaries around time, and using points and miles to create unforgettable experiences. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or new to points and miles, this episode offers valuable insights and tips to help you revolutionize your own journey.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
What's up, everybody? This is DeAndre Koch, host of the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, and I have a special one for you today. We are joined by the likes of Kelly, who goes by Points and Miles Doc, or at Points and Miles Doc on Instagram, and that's exactly what she is. She's an expert in the points and miles space, and not just a doctor, she's a surgeon. So she is busy. She is very busy, and she has figured out how to maximize her time, travel, points, miles, all of it. And I'm super excited that you have carved out time from your very busy schedule to be here on the show today. Welcome, 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 Kelly.
Thanks, DeAndre. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Kelly, tell us a little about yourself, right? So, what area of medicine do you practice in? What part of the country are you? We'd love to hear a little bit of your personal and professional background, and then let's get into the fun stuff, which is travel and points and miles.
Yeah, you bet. So, I am a practicing subspecialty academic surgeon in Los Angeles. I usually don't use my full name or exact subspecialty because it's very, very small, and I don't like to overlap the patient clinical work with my enjoyable points and miles life, but
understood. You don't want to be in a consult and someone says, "Oh, by the way, can you help me figure out how to use these Amex points before you start cutting or whatever it is that you end up doing?" I can see that. I can see there should be some boundaries there, so we're going to respect that. Not a problem.
Just a little bit of boundary there, but yeah. Funny enough, I do talk about points and miles a lot in the operating room because while you are working, there's always chit chat with your colleagues and discussion as you're doing something that's very routine and you're getting into a flow state. You start talking about things, so that's one of the areas where I would say I do get asked about it the most, which is a lot of fun. But I grew up in Dallas. I went to med school, college of med school in Texas. I moved to Boston and did all my training there and started the first half of my career there. And then I moved out to California about 7 years ago for a really good job and academic position and have been here ever since. And it's been lots of fun to, despite growing up in the middle of the country, to get to explore both the East Coast and the West Coast, because as much as we love international travel, there's also a ton to see in this country.
Absolutely.
And where what coast you're on really positions you well for what opportunities you have for travel as well.
For sure, for sure. So Kelly, I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and as far as the points and miles space goes, right? How long ago did you start? I'm going to caveat this with, I think this is a really great opportunity for you to share a different light, because I think a lot of people would just hear, oh, surgeon, oh, she's just going to pay for business class, right? But the fact that you're utilizing points yourself speaks to why this is a really a strategy that works and makes sense for everybody. So we'd love to hear about what made you decide to start going into points and miles space. What was the start look like? What cards did you start with? Would love to hear the beginning story.
Yeah, I love sharing this because I do think it is applicable to many different professions, but physicians in general, who especially when starting out might have a higher income, but incredibly low amount of wealth, usually negative wealth, and lots of debt. So growing up in Dallas, you know, we have American Airlines, we had friends who were pilots and neighbors who were pilots, and we were beholden to DFW and captive there. We actually didn't travel by plane much when I was a kid, but my parents did have an American Airlines credit card, co-branded credit card. And even back to 1991, I have an Advantage account. It's like members since 1991, since I was a kid. So they signed us up and we had the credit card. So I had this sense that you could earn miles or airline miles from using credit cards. You could use credit cards and get something back. So I've had this sense since I was a kid, but I never really knew how to use it. I never really knew how to redeem it for optimized value. And I had this poignant moment in fourth year of medical school. You know, you're interviewing all around the country for residency, for your training. It's all out of pocket. You're paying for it yourself. I was interviewing in 14 different major cities. I had to take out an additional student loan just to be able to go on all of those interviews.
Wow.
And maybe one positive thing out of COVID is that many of those interviews have gone virtual, but there still is a lot of travel required for medical trainees, whether students or residents. You're interviewing, you're visiting, you're having a second look. And out of those 14 different cities I had to go to over the span of like 6 weeks, you would think, oh, today I would come out with status. I would have some kind of strategy. And I came out with a bunch of American miles, but again, I really didn't know what to do with them. And I wasn't able to offset any of my costs with them. So it seemed like a big bummer. And that's why I want to tell people about it today. Fast forward to 2015. I was a pretty new attending. I had finished my training. I still had my student loans. I had a new mortgage to pay, all the things.
All the things.
All the things, that huge gap when I was making almost nothing and had this huge debt and still didn't know much about points and miles or how to redeem them. But my wife actually works in footwear and she has a really cool job. She was traveling to Southeast Asia all the time. She was accumulating tons of points status and starting to see all of these benefits with lounges and business class. She would send me pictures from the plane, like, wow, what is this cool world? I need some of that
yeah. in my life. Yeah. I've been in the school for 20 something years. Like, what's a lounge in an airport? Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, what is this world where somebody pays for you to travel and fly on these things? So at the end of 2015, she was flying Cathay Pacific a lot. Cathay Pacific is a One World member, crediting all of these to American Airlines and getting American Airlines status. And at the end of 2015, she was offered what's called a buy-up to Executive Platinum status, which is if you don't quite make the mileage amount, you can pay a little extra, I think it was $1,000, and they'll give you the status for the gap that you're missing. And back then, status was granted by elite miles, or what you call butt-in-seat miles. Like, you have to fly that amount of miles. You couldn't just go in a shopping portal and buy something and get to the status level like you can today because they've changed the program. So we'd been learning about it a little bit. I said, what is this buy-up? How can it be worth it to spend $1,000 and get to Executive Platinum? What does this mean? So I literally went to Google, typed in, buy up to Executive Platinum status, is it worth it? And pushed enter, a Points Guy article came up. Of course, it was still like the first thing on the Google search engine at that time. he and his core group of writers were still writing most of the content at that time. So really pertinent article. And it explained exactly that. Was it worth it to buy up to executive platinum status? The answer at the time was yes. You get 8 system-wide upgrades and lots of benefits, of course, from being one world emerald, like getting into first class lounges internationally and upgrades, things like that. So we decided to do it. I remember that day because I think I sat on the couch and went down a rabbit hole for about 8 hours, just reading the articles, reading the content, reading flyer talk. Like, that's how you had to consume the content.
Yeah, absorb it all. Yep.
I was just reading, reading, reading. And I said, okay, this world, let's do it. We have the tools. Let's do it. And from there, again, we did the buy up, and started strategizing how we were going to use credit cards to plan our upcoming vacations. So a couple of the things that we actually started with then were SPG cards. So the Starwood Preferred Guest before it was bought by Marriott. That was a fantastic card. I think you got 2 points per dollar on all spending in non-bonus categories. And then you could transfer those points one-to-one to any other airline program and get a 5,000 point bonus. So they were like the ultimate transferable point before, before we even really knew what those were. And then interestingly, we also started with the Citi Prestige, which is not a card that's currently available to new applicants, but it was my first premium card, like before I got the Chase Sapphire Reserve, before I got the American Express Platinum. Very nice. And it had a couple of perks that were really useful to me at the time. One, you used to be able to book American Airlines tickets at 1.6 cents per point using the Citi points from the Citi Prestige, almost like a portal, but just for American Airlines. But the cool thing about that was they saw those tickets as revenue tickets. And so you could actually earn, you know, elite status on those tickets that you were using points for. You also got Admirals Club status at the time when that card first came out. And then you get fourth night free on hotel bookings. And you would simply just call the concierge and say, I want to stay at this hotel. And that fourth night, they would give you a credit for your bill. So I use that and our American Airlines points and our SPG points to book our first big points trip, which was to Patagonia, to Chile and Patagonia.
Wow. Very nice.
We stayed in a, you know, beautiful, all-inclusive eco resort. It was built into the landscape with all the food and the activities included. And the fourth night free for an expensive place for us was really important. And the fact we're able to offset the flights completely and fly in American Airlines old flagship first and their old business class just to have a lay flat bed was a wonderful thing. And once you get into it, then you never go back. So that was our very first points booking. And since then, I've kept track of our bookings on spreadsheets. And we've used over 6 million points and booked about $375,000 worth of travel at this point.
Wow. That's awesome.
Even for a surgeon, that's a lot of money. That's money that would otherwise need to pay back loans, pay back mortgage. Yep. Set aside for savings, those things that you just didn't develop when you were in training. So it's really been able to help us offset costs of travel. And then that's really evolved into now creating incredibly wonderful, comfortable, intentional experiences with travel that help me decompress from work and, you know, really enjoy being able to travel. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So I've got to ask, 6 million points over the time frame. I've got to ask, I mean, do you think you've spent $6 million to get the 6 million points?
Oh, no. I know I haven't earned $6 million, not even like close. That's been through, 10 years of strategically opening cards to meet welcome offers, optimizing bonus categories. So really trying in our regular spend to optimize every bonus category we can. And then going through cards and not beholden to any one system. I think all of the systems have pros and cons. And what I like to say is, if somebody's giving, I'm taking. So if there are great offers out there, like last year, I collected 4 Amex Business Platinum cards. Why? Because they kept offering me these outsized welcome offers, like 170, 190, 200,000 points for these welcome offers. And they kept doing it over and over.
And you had to jump on them. I mean, because
you have to take those.
you have to. And so for the listeners out there also, so if you have an Amex Business Platinum and you just go online and say, hey, I have another business, I want to open up this Business Platinum, they're going to tell you, you already have a Business Platinum. You can't actually get the welcome offer. But if you get a targeted offer and they said, hey, we're specifically targeting you, there's usually a code in there as well that you put in, that negates that issue. And so, like, I mean, Kelly, that's awesome. I think I've only gotten an additional offer for a gold card a couple times. I'm like, I don't know why. I've had the Amex Business Platinum for a while, but in multiple companies, but I haven't gotten multiple offers. So I'm super jealous that you had like 4 offers last year. That's awesome. Like, that's like minimum, what, 600,000 points, probably closer to 800 between 4 of those. So that's huge. That's super cool. And you didn't have to spend $800,000 to get it, right? So that's great.
Exactly. And it's, yeah, and that's why I'm not, you know, beholden to one system. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to always stay under 524, you know, which are the Chase restrictions, 5 cards in 24 months. I'm not only trying to stick with one system. All the systems have value. And again, if somebody is offering outsized value for their welcome offers, I'm going after it. Like the Capital One Venture X business card this past year that reduced their spend for the welcome offer of 150,000 points. You know, those things, you can really do a lot with them. And yeah, so between welcome offers, and you never know when they're going to come. I mean, now Amex has not given me anything this year, and that's totally fine. I wouldn't expect that train to go on forever. But that's when it's okay. If I need to open something, I'll switch to another system. My philosophy has been, when I have big expenses coming up, things like taxes, property tax, federal tax, that's usually when I'll open a card because I know I can meet a welcome offer. And then throughout the rest of the year, I'm trying to optimize those bonus categories to earn as much as possible.
Got it. So I want to take a quick step back because you actually mentioned the buy up to executive platinum, right? And so back 10 years ago, that had a very different value than it does today. So I just want to ask, in case someone happens to be in this space, because no matter what level you're at, if you're at gold, they'll tell you, hey, you can buy up to platinum or platinum up to platinum pro and so on and so forth. And just like you did that Google search 10 years ago, I saw recently, I think when this happens back in January or February, right? Like Reddit blew up with people asking, should I do this? Just wondering for you today, do you think it still makes sense to buy up to executive platinum while we're on the American Airlines topic?
Yeah. And I've definitely been like an American Airlines lifer. So I tend to focus on that program more than Same. Others. But The game has changed now. I think 2 to 3 years ago, American changed their program where they turned into something called loyalty points. So it's not only those butt in seat miles that count for you. It's also your spend. It's also how you engage with their program. And so today, rather than buying up to a certain status, you can simply click through a shopping portal and get several thousand miles that otherwise, you know, it might have been hard to fly 5,000 miles, but maybe you can just open up the A Advantage shopping portal, sign up for a month of Blue Apron and get your 5,000 miles. So what's been really fun, I think, about this hobby is that it has changed a lot over the last 10 years. And that's what keeps it interesting, because if you figure out a puzzle, then great, you feel satisfied, but you figured it out. Now, as things are constantly changing and you're trying to constantly keep up, it's like, how do we figure out this new puzzle? And I really like to think about it like that because it makes it a very interesting hobby.
I absolutely agree. It constantly changes. I was looking at it myself and I essentially decided I think Platinum Pro is a great place to stop, just because you get Emerald status for one world, you know, all over the world at the global lounges and check-in lines and all those different things. But also what I like about Platinum Pro status, and I think that's super helpful, is if, assuming American does it again this year, if they do another Hyatt run or offer, if you're Platinum Pro or Executive Platinum, the top two tiers, you have the opportunity to do the Globalist run and staying 20 nights to get Globalist within 90 days. Whereas if you're anything lower, the best you can do is Explorist. So I felt like Platinum Pro is a great place to, you know, a good threshold, 125,000 American Airlines loyalty points versus 200,000. So I felt like that was a sweet spot for me. Everyone's going to be different, but I felt like Platinum Pro is a really great place to be that didn't have you working super hard to get American Airlines miles, but at the same time, you still get some really great benefits.
Exactly. I love that one world Emerald status. And I think that's where the value proposition of Platinum Pro and Executive Platinum is today. You know, with the transferable credit card currencies, a lot of them are Star Alliance or SkyTeam focused, which is great. You can be very well-rounded. So we choose to continue flying and spending with Oneworld Airlines. So we maintain status there while using rewards for booking Star Alliance and SkyTeam in premium cabins where you're granted those same benefits as status. So I think that's a nice strategy. If anybody has the choice to choose what alliance they're flying in, and I'm at LAX is my hub. I'm very lucky. It has every single alliance. It has American, United, Delta, Alaska, JetBlue, Southwest. We're very spoiled.
I mean, you have everything, like literally everything.
the only downside is getting in and out of the airport. Of course, that is the pain point. But once you get in, you're good. You can get anywhere in a direct flight. So, but if you have the choice, I think patronizing Oneworld for me has been a really good strategy, and then using transferable currencies to book the other alliances.
Perfect. Perfect. So going back to what you're doing now, right? Because you mentioned earlier that now travel is essentially a reprieve. It gives you a break, allows you to clear your head. And I understand that 100%. Obviously, I'm not in medicine, but in the financial planning side, my schedule stays crazy packed. And I didn't kind of intentionally do it to myself because I'm running my own practice, but my schedule stays crazy packed. But that's because I cram a lot in so I can then get away and enjoy and relax. And the relaxation recharges me to go back and get after it again. So I would love to hear more about how you've been able to balance travel with the crazy schedule. And going back to an earlier point that you mentioned, when you mentioned that you have, you said that, you know, someone here, surgeon, well, yeah, there's student loans, there's expenses, there's a lot there. And in the financial planning world, I'm sure you've probably heard this acronym, but we refer to a lot of physicians and other people in a similar space earlier in their career, but they earn a lot of income as Henrys, right? So high earning, not rich yet. So I would listen to the listeners out there that, there, you know, because of all the moving pieces that it took you to get to this point, right? There's a lot of other expenses that are out there that are part of the reason why the compensation is so high. But from that standpoint, how are you able to balance out busy job schedule or busy schedule in general with travel and getting away? And I mean, having such a demanding career, because obviously if you're in surgery, you're doing things that are really helping people's lives, right? So I assume that I don't know a single surgeon that doesn't have a crazy schedule. So how are you able to balance the two?
Yeah. That's a great question. As I've gone along in my career, I've really tried to make it a priority. There's really good data showing that tired physicians, burned out physicians are less empathetic. They treat patients less well. They prescribe less. So they're actually less effective. When we're tired, when we're burned out, when we haven't gotten away, we are less effective. So knowing that has helped me overcome this sense that I think we all have when we graduate, which is we've already been working 80 plus 100 hours a week, even 80 max. And
yes, 80 max in quotes.
Just 80.
Yes.
It's 7 to 7 every day. We've already been working this intense schedule, so we're used to it. The average amount of loans, I think, is $200,000 in debt It's going up every year. Mm-hmm. I was in medical school the year that tuition was deregulated for state schools. It was really hard to make an investment in that. You just didn't know what you were getting into. And interest rates, I think when I started, were around 1% for federal loans. And when I graduated, they were about 7%. So again, it's like this variable rate investment you're making that you have no idea what it is when you get into it.
Absolutely.
So you're coming out with this work ethic, all of these loans, also this sense of delayed gratification. Now's the time. I need the house. I need to start my life. I put it off for 10 to 15 years. They need to do all these things and they start adding up. And it means that people want to take even less time off because they feel like they're trying to catch up, or maybe they don't have the means to. And I think studies show also that physicians, I mean, everybody in the U.S. is bad about taking their vacation, but I think physicians are even worse. And again, burnout is not unique to healthcare. It's in every field, but it's quite bad in healthcare. And especially after COVID, it's quite bad. So seeing that, I really made it a priority to set time aside. I'm an employed physician, so I get PTO as I work, and I can't cash my PTO out. And when I reach a certain point, I can't roll it over. And during COVID, I got to the max amount that I could accrue, and then it just stopped. And I'm like, if I am not accruing my PTO, I'm actually losing a part of my salary. That's a part of my salary.
Right.
So knowing that, as long as I book things very, very far in advance, and I'm one of those like year out bookers.
Gotcha.
I just have to block my schedule really far in advance, because maybe my surgery schedule is 5 to 6 months out. My clinic schedule is about the same. So I just have to block that time. As long as I block it, I have the time. I don't want to get to the point where I'm not accruing anymore. I'm a booker really, really far in advance. I also know that surgery is physically taxing. So the idea of sitting in like an economy seat for 8 hours or 12 hours, like, actually is painful. And I'm after a certain number of years, like, it just became painful. Luckily, I'd already been into points at that point.
Yep. It's hard to go. It's also hard to go back, right? So as soon as you once you experience a lie flat seat once,
it's done.
Right? Yeah. Like, you can't go backwards. It just hurt. Like you said, it hurts. I mean, it's different, but it hurts. Yeah, it hurts to go backwards.
It's like, my shoulders hurt all the time. Like, ergonomic injuries in surgery are reported, like, in some studies up to 100% of people. So it's like, okay, they're common. And so the amount of time I can tolerate, like, sitting in a tight seat is getting shorter and shorter over time. But, when I take the time off, I want to start the vacation. Then I don't want to be like, oh, I'm just going to get there. I'm just going to get there and then I'll enjoy it. Or I'm just going to do this and then I'll enjoy it. Physicians tend to do that. We go through training, we go through residency. I'll enjoy it after this. I'll enjoy it after this or after this. There's no after. Just, you need to set up and manage your life how you want to enjoy it. And so for me, that's starting vacation right away. So the days off that I do take, I can maximize. I can be in a lie flat seat. I can get some sleep. I can be rested and ready to go at my destination, whatever that might be. And then I can really enjoy that time and decompress. So that's how I look at it now. When I was early on, I looked at travel still as just trying to offset the cost completely. You know, I needed to divert those funds into paying my student loans. I needed to divert those funds into paying our mortgage. And that was a great way to do that when I was early in my career. But things do change. I think points are great because they can evolve with you through your career, through your life stage, through your income level. And then they can achieve what you need them to achieve, you know, wherever you are.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow Points and Miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy.
Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode.
That's awesome. So, as you talk about this evolution of, you know, points and miles and usage through your career, have there been any just amazing redemptions that really come to mind, like amazing stays? Obviously, you've done a lot with American Airlines. I know you said that your wife was doing some flying with like Cathay Pacific and such. But any of just amazing, just mind-blowing trips or destinations that really come to mind that you're like thinking, or the listeners were to hear, they're like, man, I want to do that one next. Anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I do target some international first class redemptions for sure. So probably my crowning achievement was booking Emirates first class. I had used SPG points transferred to JAL, Japan Airlines, at the time, because you could book Emirates through JAL and it was distance based. And so I figured out that from LAX to Dubai and back to LAX was a little bit too long. It kicked up the points into another category, but I could fly from Singapore to Dubai to LAX, which is about 24 hours of flying time in Emirates first for this, just under this point cutoff through JAL. So I was able to book that flight for myself and my wife. We flew Singapore business to basically position to Singapore, spent some time in Singapore, flew to Dubai in Emirates first, spent a couple days at the Almaha Resort out in the desert there, which had also just transitioned from an SPG property to a Marriott property. That's been one of my favorite uses of Marriott points ever. Every room is a villa with a private pool, and they have the desert oryx that live out there, and these wild animals that live in the desert that you don't think anything can survive in. So that was a fantastic trip.
That's really cool.
Flew over to Jordan for a few days, spent a couple days in Jordan with a small family-owned company who took us around the country and saw Petra and Wadi Rum and a lot of wonderful sights to see there. And then we came back to Dubai and flew home. So I got to take a shower on the A380, eat endless amounts of caviar. It was the most comfortable first class bed I've ever experienced. So if you have the chance to fly Emirates first, I think they do not disappoint. Since then, I've also been able to fly ANA first. I was able to book round trip from LAX to Tokyo using Virgin points, which was a fantastic deal. It was like 110,000 points round trip.
Wow.
Per person at the time. It's gone up a little bit, but it's still a fantastic deal if you can find the availability. ANA, of course, even in their old product, was fantastic service, huge bed, you know, this humongous seat, just wild experiences. And then most recently, I had the opportunity to fly Singapore Suites from Delhi to Singapore. We flew Q Suites over to India, LAX to Doha to Delhi, and spent about a week on a tiger safari in the northern part of the country in Ranthambore National Park, which was just amazing. And then I always wanted to try Singapore Suites. They don't fly to the US anymore, but I saw that they were flying out of Delhi, into or out of Delhi, and took the opportunity to book those flying home from Delhi. So we flew from Delhi to Singapore to LAX.
Awesome. So how many of those trips, right? Because you had the Emirates first class, ANA first class, Singapore Suites. I mean, these are top tier. I mean, toppest of the top tier flying experiences. How many of these trips did you book based on the flight versus the destination, would you say?
Oh, you know, the Emirates first class was, we wanted to go to Jordan and the Middle East. We had never been, but really that trip was constructed around Emirates first class. The ANA trip we could go to Japan anytime. It was our second time. We did a snowshoeing trip through the Nagano Prefecture, which was fantastic. So anytime you get the chance to go to Japan, if you see any award availability, jump on it. And then we'd actually planned the Tiger Safari and then just took the opportunity to fly a different route home. Luckily, or I don't know if this is luckily or not, but India is almost exactly around the world from us. So you could go east or you could go west, and it's going to be about the same nice amount of time getting back to California. So it was a great opportunity. I would say it's a combination. For example, later this year, we're going to South Africa. I got an amazing rate on Q-Suites through American Airlines miles, I think 75,000 American Airlines miles per person to fly from LAX to Doha to Johannesburg. And then coming home, we're going to fly Lufthansa and Lufthansa first class back from Munich. So really excited to try that product. I've been wanting to try it for the longest time. And as you know, they don't release awards to partners except extremely close in. And that's just not something that I can really plan for. Even if we book backup flights, it had to be a really appealing backup flight to make it worthwhile. So I actually purchased miles and more miles because Lufthansa opens up their availability to their program members like a year out. And I think I purchased about $3,000 worth of miles and was able to book us business class for two, was able to book business class from Johannesburg to Munich and then first class from Munich to LAX. So even purchasing miles can represent a really good deal if you are able to find the availability and know what you're looking for.
Right. Off the top of your head, do you actually remember what the cash cost of that first class or what you bought the points for? Do you happen to know what the cash cost of that would have been?
Yeah, I think for two, about $10,000.
And you spent $3,000, correct? To buy the points.
Yes, exactly. So really great opportunity there. Especially since that program is not talked about much because they don't have any transfer partners. It's awfully hard to accrue those points as an American. But they actually, when they release their bundles, they do a couple times a year, they'll release bundles of points where you get a bonus if you purchase the points, and it can represent a great value. You're essentially buying them for 1 cent per point, but you're redeeming them for outsized value in their premium cabins.
So that's really interesting, a strategy that you mentioned there that I haven't heard many people talk about. So question, when you did this, did you kind of not necessarily on a whim, but did you say, oh, let me just buy these points and wait for the right opportunity? Or did you buy the points and very, very soon after, if not immediately, just went ahead and booked for 11 months out when you found, or 12 months out when you saw what the points could be used for?
Yeah, I made sure there was availability first. Just like transferring your points, I searched for availability first, made sure that the flights or at least a couple days around it were there that I wanted to buy or that I wanted to book. And then I bought the number of miles that I needed to book those flights.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, Kelly, I love what you've done because you mentioned this just a few minutes ago that your vacation starts essentially at the airport. And I think for most people, you're right. Physician or not, it's always about, I just got to get there, right? And so their airport experience is very different than our airport experience. Their airplane experience is different than our airplane experience, and their trip isn't until they get to their destination. Whereas when you're in the points and miles world, like the journey is part of the destination almost. And sometimes it's better than the destination
sometimes
as well. And so I think that's a really cool point to come back to and hype and focus on, because the name of this podcast is Revolutionizing Your Journey, because the goal is to do travel different, and all of our journeys can be different. And again, I mean, how different is it when you have a trip, whether it's 4 days, 5, a week, 3 weeks, whatever it may be. And instead of just thinking, all right, well, let's just get to the resort, like you're getting to the airport and you're in a lounge. And then you're, if you drink, you're drinking cocktails and eating food, whatever it may be. Then you get to your gate. And then instead of going right into economy, you turn left into business class. And then someone pours you a glass of champagne. And then your seat turns into a bed and all these different things, right? So exactly what you said is exactly the goal that we want to get across and help people see that this is just a different world that's super accessible no matter who you are. And I love the fact that, you know, you planned a trip around the Emirates experience, which that is on our to-do list, is the Emirates first class experience. We have Emirates business class, but the Emirates first class is still, we're going to have to do the same exact thing, is basically plan a trip around the flight. That's because what we're going to have to do, because that's just going to be the option for us.
Yeah. And I think that's, if this is fun and interesting to you, if you're an airplane hobbyist, and I think a lot of us are nerds and we enjoy the, you know, the logistics.
It does help being a nerd in this game. I will say that it does help. I don't think I've talked to as many people that like spreadsheets as I have as either financial advisors or points and miles enthusiasts. So yeah.
Yes. Our spreadsheet love is got to be similar between the financial world and the points world. But I think if you're a hobbyist, flying these products is also part of the fun. And going into the lounge is part of the fun. I would also argue that it can also be very like financially utilitarian. You get to the airport, it's expensive. You have to pull everything out of your bag. You're rushing. You have to stop at the first place you see and spend $20 on maybe your coffee and a bagel. Or even if you just have a few minutes, you pop into the lounge. I always bring my coffee mug. I fill up my coffee mug with a cappuccino. I grab something from the food bar and then I'm ready to go. I think these things are not just luxury. They are also financially beneficial to you once you start using them. And if you're using them frequently enough.
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree with you there. So Kelly, as we start on the path of wrapping up here a little bit, you've had such great things that you've said so far. Any tips, any recommendations, any resources that you typically use or sites that you prefer or that you use often when it comes to finding these deals? Now, you and I are a little bit different from the standpoint of, I feel like I book like tomorrow versus 11 months. I have no idea what I'm doing 11 months from now. So usually my booking window is about a month to 3 months out, unless it's a huge trip that maybe goes to six. So would love to hear what resources you use to help you plan your schedule, keep your points organized, or in general, just, you know, kind of tips that you find that when you're in the OR working on someone that your colleagues or the nurses in there or anesthesiologist, whoever's in the room with you, you know, they're asking you questions. What are the things that you're typically recommending or talking about right now?
Yeah. Great question. First of all, I love following different creators because everybody's just on a different timeline, a different schedule, a different number of people they need to book for. And I learn something from everybody, even if it's the person booking something tomorrow or somebody who's booking for a family of five, I always learn from them. So follow people who are delivering new content that's useful for your situation. I do follow also a lot of award alert services. Even if I can't book that random trip, I like to know what's out there. And I think it helps me learn what type of points availability comes on the market and what type of value I can get for my points or where I can transfer things. So the different services, even the cash fare services like Ashley Gets Around, Going, Thrifty Traveler. I don't have one favorite one. I just like to follow whoever is sending out deals. And again, it helps me learn. And sometimes when there are mistake fares or low cash fares, if you have dynamically priced programs, you can actually find low points availability at that time too, or low, you know, number of points, not low availability. Because there's so much content now, I don't feel like there's a a universal service that teaches you everything. This is what I've been trying to put together for medical professionals, is actually a course for trainees and a course for attendings to take them through all of the basics. And these are things that are going to come out later this year.
Awesome.
But there's no one resource at this point. But even going to a website, if you're really, really brand new, just going to a website like the Points Guy and starting with their beginner series. I love 1 mile at a time. I still read his work daily. He still writes everything. The basic stuff that I grew up with. Yeah, I'm still a little bit beholden to. I think some tips for people starting out: focus on transferable currencies, especially if you have a schedule that's not flexible. You need as much flexibility in your points life that you can get. And by having transferable points, then what I'm talking about there are American Express, membership rewards, Chase Ultimate rewards, Capital One Venture rewards, Built rewards, City Thank You rewards, any of those programs that transfer to multiple different airlines and hotels just gives you flexibility. And that's what we're looking for. You either need flexibility in the type of points you have, you need flexibility on when you can go, or you need flexibility on where you can go. And so just by having flexibility in one of those places, you can really develop a nice system for yourself. I feel like the award alert systems show you where to go. and if you have the time, you know, when, and if you have the transferable points currencies, the how you're going to achieve that.
Well, perfect, Kelly. Thank you. That was very insightful. This overall has been great. You talked about a lot of great strategies, a lot of really cool trips. Talking about trips, I know you said that you have one coming up, a big one coming up this year. Any other super exciting trips that are on the radar, or maybe they're planned for next year, seeing as that would be, you know, 11 months out from now, or that are on your bucket list that you're still trying to really get to?
Of course, I already have 2025 planned. I keep something, I don't call it a bucket list. I call it a thrive list, because I read that you should call it a thrive list because it's the things you're doing when you're thriving. So even if that sounds cheesy, I think I've read that same thing before.
I love that you embrace that. Yeah, I love that. That's great.
I also think it keeps me focused, because there's so much you can see on social media that can give you FOMO. Like, I have to go to this location, I have to go. And it may be a wonderful, amazing location, but you might have no interest in going. So I try to keep a list that keeps me focused on things that I want to do. I think as I've gotten older and I live in a very big city, we really like going into the country and seeing nature and seeing wild animals. So as I mentioned, later this year, we're going to South Africa. We're going on a safari outside of Sabi Sands on that reserve, booked with a company called Safari True, Dan Chaknova. He booked us a trip previously to Rwanda and Kenya, which was fantastic. So highly recommend him if you're looking for somebody to organize a safari for you. In 2025, we'll be going to Morocco. Always wanted to go. Just got back from Spain a couple weeks ago, southern Spain. I love the connection and the history. And so I'm really looking forward to visiting Morocco. We're flying Air France business class. And all the way from LAX through Paris to Morocco, both into Marrakesh and out of Rabat, was 50,000 flying blue points per person each way. So just a really very excited about that. Never flown Air France, and I'm excited to try it out. And then just a few weeks from now, we're going to Scotland and we're hiking through the Highlands. So being out in the country, doing some hiking, it's going to be refreshing. I'll get some clean air. Can't wait to breathe it in.
Nice. That's going to be a very big difference from being in LA for sure. So that's exciting. Are you for South Africa? Did you use points for your stay there, or was that more so just for the flights?
Yeah, more so just for the flights, though we are spending some time in Cape Town, and I was able to book one of the SLH properties that just left Hyatt, sadly, but they'll be going over to Hilton. So, you know, maybe it's not so bad, but I was able to book 3 or 4 nights at the Cellars. the Sellers Honort. I'm totally saying that wrong, and please audio dub me the correct pronunciation of that. But it is just in from the city on like the wine countryside of Cape Town. So we booked the flights in and out and that first part of the stay, and then really are just spending on the safari part, which is how I like to do it, supporting a small business, a very small lodge, and spending that money with people who are investing locally in the community is really how I like to look at travel now. I'm offsetting the cost of the corporate experience and then spending my money on the local experience. I think that, again, another thing as I've gotten older and as my career has progressed, my income or my debt has decreased, that's really important to me, to choose those experiences that are really giving back or investing in the community as well. So everything that we choose, that we spend money on, trying to make sure that, you know, the place is giving back to the community, not extracting from the community.
That's awesome. Conservation is always super important. And we will also make sure to link that company that you mentioned that did the booking and the tours for you as well in the show notes, because I want the listeners to be able to use them. And frankly, when I plan this, my trip to Africa, I'm just going to come back to this episode, hit the link, and know who I need to be booking through as well. So I love the inside scoop here. Kelly, how can the listeners stay connected with you, and how can they see your trip through the Highlands of Scotland and all the other cool things that you have coming up?
Yeah, mostly on Instagram at the Points and Miles Doc, or Kelly, the Points and Miles Doc. And then also my website, pointsandmilesdoc.com, is where I have some freebies, like a downloadable beginner's guide if you need a place to start. I have a spreadsheet, of course, because we love spreadsheets, and then information on courses as they become available. So check me out on those platforms.
Awesome, Kelly. Well, thank you. We will link all of that in the show notes as well so that the listeners can check you out. Appreciate the wonderful knowledge that you've bestowed upon us today. Know that you came straight from work, fresh out of the OR, just to do this recording. So appreciate you taking the time out today. A couple last questions, and then we'll wrap this one up. Any final thoughts as far as any last points or anything that you said, oh, you know what, I meant to say this or wanted to get that out there? Any last thoughts from you?
That would be another 8 hours of discussion. So I'll let your listeners off the hook from that one.
Got it. No worries at all. And then last question, who else should we have on the show that you think our listeners would really benefit from hearing from, that you know is just great in the points and miles space?
Oh, you know, a fellow spreadsheet lover, the points analyst. I don't know if you've had him on the show.
I have not.
He actually has his own award alert service. He sends out spreadsheets. He is developing points search engines and aggregators. He's an American. They moved to Switzerland because they could. And I think he has really, really solid strategy and points content. So definitely have him on. I think that'd be a great discussion between the two of you. And he has great content as well, so give him a follow.
Awesome. I'm going to reach out to him and see if we can get him on a future episode. One of the people that you actually did mention that has that puts alerts out there, Ashley Gets Around, she's going to be on an episode coming up in a few weeks as well. So super Excellent. Excited about that. So
she's
Kelly,
great.
She is great.
She's a riot. She
absolutely is. Absolutely is. Kelly, thank you so much for your time today. This was absolutely phenomenal. Appreciate your insights, your knowledge, and just the story overall. I think you and your wife are doing some really great things. And again, your experiences are starting from the journey. So I think you have really revolutionized your journey and made some phenomenal trips and experiences and memories by doing so. So thank you so much for being on the episode today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, if you love Kelly's story, please go ahead and follow her. Please tell your friends if you love this episode today. Also, don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, do all the things, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. for deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.